Blog Talk Radio.
Bring forward.
All ready.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, Reverend Doug B. How are you? Pleasure to meet you, sir. I'm John Love from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Wow.
I'm I had correspondence with you back in January, February.
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm still the same there, Reverend. There are some days that kind of tight, some days that are, but. As I mentioned before, it might be a little bit stubborn than I have well on my head. So perhaps a little booster prayer would have been helpful back then, but I won't give up.
No, you never give up. Never. Never.
That's correct. No. The way I looked at it for quite a while, Marvin, is to say, it's a test from God to see how much patience we have. And the more patience we have, then the love that is going to come about it when you get better.
Yes.
I always find that the blessing that way, so I'll never give up or give up all that. And I think one of the best things I found is this wonderful group here. And the blessing of my discipline.
Thank you
for these services that you're offering. And very cultural for providing such nice services for them.
Yes, you got it. That's for sure. That's for
sure. He does a wonderful job. I see some of his webinars that he had on YouTube mostly. And I've seen his website that he's not the strain. He's found a lot of many good things for many people.
And that is so true. That is so true.
And one thing, someone has mentioned that he is the education, the president of education, which is hard to find anymore.
Few and far between, that is for certain.
For sure. When I went to Casey back then, when I was much younger, back when I was maybe 12 or 14, I was very amazed and very impressed with this gentleman was being, how straightforward and how truthful he was in trying to give some kind of premonition, but in a good sense. And just in a good guidance. And that's really important, that guidance along the better path that way. And I see Reverend Cottrell and yourself doing that. So I really appreciate it, and thank you for that.
Well, we appreciate your being here and contributing your energies and everything to the group. It's much appreciated.
Thank you.
God bless you.
I turn it over to Reverend Rebecca now to start. As you can see, my friends, we're having a little munchkin problem this morning. So bear with us. We're getting there. Reverend Rebecca is going to start with an opening if she's available. Okay, I guess did we lose Reverend Rebecca, Doug, you think? Okay, Doug, why don't you start the service with the clergy? I'll turn the music down. If I can find it. There we go. Take it away, Doug. Reverend Douglas. Maybe I should say Astonmute. Okay, I was talking. Could you hear me, Reverend Douglas? Oh, I know why. Okay, if Reverend Rebecca is available, perhaps she could start.
All right, welcome everybody to the March 12th, 2023 service of Renny Mansions. I'm Rebecca Sanford, and I want to welcome you all. I'm glad you're here. We have some announcements, as always, for those of you who may not have been here before. We will be monitoring the chat. Love to hear your miracle stories or your positive news. Also, if you'd like to put in prayer requests for those who are not here in the chat room with their first name and the area of concern, so we can pray for those people who are not here. In addition, our website is nationalschoolofprophets.com. I'll put that in the chat, as well as our email is manymansions144@gmail.com. As always, we would appreciate any donation you're willing to provide to us. I always say one cup of coffee, Starbucks, it would be great, not a whole lot, but it would be, we do have expenses and appreciate anything that you would give. And so thank you again all for being here, and I will turn it over to Reverend Doug, I believe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Reverend Rebecca. And welcome everyone to our service this Sunday. Our last is Mark. Here today. Mark Valerie. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forevermore.
Now I will ask Deacon Michael to read the prayer for the planet.
Thank you. Dear Lord God Almighty, to all the angels, saints, avatars, and divine beings above, I ask for your divine grace to shed the beloved rays of peace upon the planet Earth, to soften the hearts of those in authority and influence those minds in a positive way that have authority over the planet and all who live on the Earth, that their decisions and actions will always be for the greater
good. We've lost you, Michael.
For the greater good. I remember that part. Okay. And we are, it's amazing, my friends, we're having munchkin problems today. So as Michael said, he was as well.
In spades.
Yes. Well, I guess who's up next, Doc?
You are.
Well, not quite. Let's see if we can play our favorite hymn.
Ah, yes.
We'll roll the dice. Can you hear it?
I will settle fears.
Welcome to today's service. It is March break. The kids are off school. Granddaughter has informed me that she's able to come and see me anytime this week. Translation, she needs to go shopping, wants to go get things. You know, hey, Papa, got a few extra dollars? Well, God bless her. Again, we're having some difficulties as we go through the opening here today. For whatever reason, there might be something going on in the ethers that are affecting us, but I'm glad you're all here today. I see that we're 29 souls on board, and it's a short talk today. On our radio show on Friday, we had a very good response and a very good conversation about the chaos in the world. And there are two aspects of that that I'm going to talk about today. We can take a nod from the Ten Commandments, in which we're told what to do, what not to do, in pretty specific summarized views. I'm talking specifically about Exodus 20, verse 2 to 17. We know what they are. We've heard them before. But the two that I wanted to accent today would be the one about thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbors, and also keep the Sabbath holy. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, as we know. But what does that mean by keeping it holy? And what does it mean bearing false witness against your neighbor? In our show on Friday, produced by Paul Hughes and co-hosted with Doug Bentley, we asked the audience, this time is a time of chaos. And you hear people all the time saying, something should be done. Someone ought to do something about this. Something should be said. And I turned that around on the audience and I said, you know, we all talk about someone else doing something. This should be done. This is outrageous. This is not right. They shouldn't do that. Well, this is true. We can observe these things, but it's like sitting in the stands of a huge stadium and throwing a paper cup down on the field. It's a useless effort. Although it allows you to express how you feel, and certainly we feel motivated, emotional, or discontented, or outraged, or angry about something. But what's the constructive way to look at that? Well, the spiritual lesson is that when you observe something and you're a spiritual person and you find that there is something in error, there is some problem, what can you do about it is the question. What can you say? How can you amend the problem? What's your contribution? Well, everyone on the other side of that would say, well, I'm only one person. What can I do? God always starts with one person. Whenever change comes into the world, it starts with a single person. It spreads to a community. The community spreads to other communities. Then you have a movement, and slowly change occurs. So, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor is something that we can start with to stop what I would call the adulteration of the truth, whatever that might be. We're bombarded these days by internet information. And humans being humans, we tend to follow our habits, so we go back to the same websites, the same people who have podcasts, and we listen to them, and then we start to exclude other sources of information. Pretty soon, we're convinced that that place that we're listening this information is telling us the truth. That's a mistake, because that person is selling you something, their opinion, their point of view, their products. One, as a spiritual person, has to think this way to be aware, not this way, which channels your view and you become unaware. You become adulterated. Your opinion becomes very focused. What do I do when people approach me from all over? I look at it at a wide scope, and whatever comes into my mind from that wide scope is helpful, using my intuition or whatever, and I'm able to help them. But if I have a narrow scope, I can't help people except those that come into that narrow scope, because I wouldn't be aware of the other things. As you develop your abilities, it's to take that narrow focus and broaden it so that you are aware of many things. Avoiding the great sin of bearing false witness against your neighbor means not to gossip. It means not to spread rumors. It means not to have hard opinions about anyone, or for that matter, anything. You know, I often show you the little slap on the wrist that when you start showing off with your spiritual abilities or gifts, that you could see somebody's aura, or that you can lay hands on them and their headache goes away, or that you can move a cloud, or that you can have some effect on the weather, or that you're telepathically picking up on someone else's thoughts or words. Don't show off, because that slams the door closed, and God will always teach you, give you a little slap on the wrist to keep you humble. So keeping the Sabbath holy and not assassinating other people's reputation or bearing false witness or getting caught up into opinions, the process is simply try not to have blanket opinions. Always leave room for the part that you don't know. Everybody has their truth, and everybody has their perspective on the truth. And so if you keep it in the back of your mind that what you're saying, you could be in error, you might be wrong, that'll keep you humble. It will also allow you to be more aware, and information will come into your mind. You'll be inspired. You'll see somebody that everybody in the room is picking on, and you'll see in your mind, he's not a drunk. He's got a sore. He's got a problem. What's going on? I'll go talk to him. And you go over and you casually say, so, you know, you seem to be drinking on the job. What's going on? Why don't you go to a chiropractor? Well, my wife's a nurse and she won't let me go. She says they're witch doctors. Really? I go to one. I find I get relief. Why don't you go? I just can't. That's why I'm taking a few drinks in the locker room because it's making the pain go away. I can't afford to take time off work. There's the truth. The man was self-medicating. A little too much, mind you. But around the room was going, blah, 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 blah. He's drinking, drunk, something's going on. And it spread like wildfire. I'm sure you've run into that before. To turn a blind eye and say, something ought to be done. Somebody should go see what's wrong with that guy. Or somebody should report him to the boss. That's getting into that delegation of responsibility to other people that you ought not do. Instead, you go over and you inquire, what's going on? He's a good man. Why are you drinking all the time? Surprise, surprise, he was in pain. Well, fortunately for this individual, this is a real story I'm telling you about. Two other people came over and joined me and convinced them to go to a chiropractor. You know how we convinced them? Well, you remember in the Bible where they came to Jesus and asked him about coins? And he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. That meant you could, it's okay to keep secrets. So we said, go to the chiropractor. Just don't tell your wife. And he did. And within a week, everybody was wondering, oh, what's going on? He's okay now. But those rumors were still out there. Something ought to be done. Somebody should say something. Well, I did. I made a joke out of it. I see those stories going around, you know, but the poor guy, you know, here he is, his back's killing him, his wife won't let him go to the doctor, and he's taking a few drinks, you know, to make the pain go away. Remember when you played football? Ha, ha, ha. The rumor ceased. I didn't do it one at a time. I chose the setting. It was in a group in the coffee room where everybody was sitting when I brought up my joke. Something ought to be done. Something should be said. When that comes across your plate, do something. Say something. No matter what it is. Remember, from the edge of your fingers back, you have complete control. Outside of that, you do not have control, but you have influence. So whatever it's within your grasp, within your range of length of your arms, you can do something about it, and you ought to do something about it. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to fight. You don't have to condemn. You say something. You do something. Because God always starts with a single person. Change has to start with someone. Why not you? The rule of thumb here is when something comes to you, it's within your area of influence. The cosmos has got an issue that they've brought to you. Perhaps you could do something about it. You all too often have heard, none of my business. I don't want to get involved. Well, you already are involved if that issue is in front of you. What is in front of us today are this evil, I'm going to call it, that rumors can be spread at warp speed on the internet. And they do affect everybody. Whoever's the focus of it, they can suffer greatly. Children, as well as adults, are being bullied on the internet. And all bullying is accusing somebody of wrongdoing that they're innocent of. Or starting a rumor. You know, rumors are juicy gossip, aren't they? You just can't wait to tell the next person. That's bearing false witness. So attempt not to speak poorly of someone, even in jest. That's the correct way. We can attempt to do this, and in other times and other places when I've challenged the people in the group that I've been was lecturing to do it, very hard. I ask, can you do this for an hour? Don't speak poorly about anyone. For an hour, for a day. Everyone would nod their head. And by the end of the day, two or three people would have already started. Did you hear about so-and-so's daughter? Yeah, she's got, well, she's not married yet, but she's got a baby coming along. You don't say. So we have to watch out for this thief in the night rumors, because it's our habit to do so. It's just as easy to say, hey, did you hear about so-and-so's son? He just got second place at the karate championship. Yeah, so what? No, that's what we should be talking about. Congratulations. So bearing false witness in the sense of you're not going to court, putting your hand on a Bible and bearing a false witness, that false witness is to stop rumors, is to stop jumping to conclusions about someone. And it's a habit that's hard to break. I've asked you every day to pray. Get into that habit. Pray a prayer of gratitude every day. When you start to associate with the higher beings and realms, they make themselves known to you. They present themselves to you in dreams, in visitations, when you're half asleep. You might see a white light flash or an orb floating on the window. You might see somebody at the door and you look and there's nobody there, but there was. They will make themselves available to you. You'll be looking in a picture, and as you walk around the room, you'll swear that saint is keeping their eyes on you, watching you as if their eyes are alive. These are things people have reported to me and some things I've experienced myself. When you're focused, remember when you first became aware that there was something intuitive, mystical, something to this spiritual world, you became enthusiastic. When people get religion, they do the same thing. All of a sudden they wake up and they realize there is a God. There is a religious figure. Jesus, Mary, Mother Mary, Father Joseph, and the other religions, Muhammad, Moses, angels, archangels, Gabriel, Raphael, some of the Indian gods, Hanuman, Shiva. They become aware of these entities, these beings, these souls. Entity is not a bad word, although some people like to associate it with. It just means a person, a thing, a being that's not quite describable. A spiritual being will make themselves known to you, and then you'll have faith. Then you'll have proof that there's something in the great beyond. And as you move from that elementary understanding or awareness, great communication can come forward to you. Revealing dreams, awareness that something is about to happen, good or bad. That awareness is what you need to make a habit. A part of that is not getting caught up in the kindergarten mundane rumors, assassination of people's characters, looking at them and us, we're right, they're wrong, our religion's the number one and only religion, all the others are going to hell. That's all elementary stuff. And as you rise up over that, you become aware of the next or higher dimensions and the higher dimensions above that while you're still here in the world. And it's important that you keep your peace in order to do that. I've never yet met an angry person that could give me a psychic impression. I've never been able to give somebody intuitive impressions when I've been angry. Makes sense. Anger takes you away from harmony and that great stillness that's required in the awareness of the moment to be able to perceive into the future and see something. Yes, I've been able to bet on horses. I can easily get the first couple of races. I can get the horse that's going to win the race. When I go to the circus or the midway and you take those little balls and you throw it out there and it comes up with a month or a number, I could do that. You can too. But can you do it repetitively? No, because your greed gets in front of you and you hope to win. But the first time, you allowed your mind to go forward and you could see what was going to happen. So as you practice this, setting aside any emotional attachment to something and staying in that ever-present moment, disinterested, whether you're right or wrong, you will be right. You will see things. Thoughts will occur to you. Should I trust this person or not? Should I take my money out of the bank or not? Information will come to you and you're going to say, my gosh, it's coming at me like a tidal wave. Why didn't I see it before? I don't want to get carried away with all the advantages of being able to perceive the next moment, the next day, the next week, or the next year, but that can be done. But in order to keep your peace, the commandment of keeping the Sabbath day holy means this to me. That for that day, you put your worries aside. For that day, you get back to a point of being balanced. For that day, you don't allow any negativity to come into your mind. Someone comes up and says, did you hear about the bank in California? You say, I don't want to hear about it tomorrow. Did you hear about the storms and the flood? I don't want to hear it tomorrow. Yes, but this is important. I'm going to have to ask you to leave if you keep it up. I don't want to know about that. What am I saying here? You don't allow any negativity to come at you or into your life or into your mind for one day of the week. And the reason you do that is because it is your salvation. It is a healing day for you. It is a day of rest. Because the other 6 days of the week, we're in the world full of all kinds of stuff. Usually adverse, challenging. People yelling at you, wanting a bill collected. People saying your grass is too long. Or somebody driving their car across your lawn or somebody cutting you off in traffic. And you got to pick the phone up. Here we go again. I got to do this. I don't want to. I have to call somebody. Family issues, family problems, family concerns. You know, the regular. Let's duke it out for another week, you know. Okay. But on the seventh day, one day, any day you choose, don't allow anything to come into your mind that isn't loving, peaceful, balanced, kind, comfortable, or beautiful. One day. I'll even let you off the hook and say, okay, for half a day. Try to do it for half a day. Turn off the computer, put the cell phone under the pillow and leave it there. Turn the radio off in the car. Put on some nice, pleasant music or sounds, tinkly water running. Start a fire in a fireplace and gaze at the flames. Put some nice fragrance around the room. What are you doing? I'm suggesting you change your environment for one day. 5,000 years ago, this was a commandment given to the tribes of Israel as they were fleeing from their captivity in Egypt. there were some other practical commandments. Don't steal, don't kill, don't covet your neighbor's property. The way we have them in the Bible and the way it's been given to us as the Ten Commandments, I heard there was actually 100 or 144 commandments, but that goes beyond my scope of proof. These are simple words that we've heard 1,000 times before, but they have meaning. They're basically saying, don't do these things because they're going to happen to you. What you put forward is going to come back at you. So if you're putting out beauty and calmness and peace and serenity, that's what's going to come back to you. But it's going to part the waters. It's going to allow you to go through today's worries and troubles and difficulties and see a solution or an alternative. And when you can see that alternative, when you can see that there is something that can be done, that gives you hope. And hope is medicine. Hope chases away disease, physical, mental, and spiritual. When you pray, you're praying to the great beyond. You're praying to something invisible. You're hoping that the great invisible dimension above you'll be able to talk to or communicate or plead your case to someone who lives there. And that by their grace, they're going to help you. Well, think about that. Why should they? Do they know you? Do you pray to them and offer gratitude? Do you hope that the beings in the higher dimensions are doing well? What is it they want from you? Why should they have a covenant with you? Why should they watch out and over you? Well, because you say their name, you acknowledge their existence is a good start. You express your gratitude for them interceding in your life. That's a good thing. They might be able to pick you out of a crowd, and they might be more willing to help you as opposed to someone who doesn't say their name, offer them prayers of gratitude or love. It's not payment. It's a covenant. It's a relationship. But you're the one that is the beneficiary. When you get in trouble, you pray. You pray to God Almighty for relief. And that's the great promise. You have to ask, and God Almighty will intercede. God Almighty will intercede by giving you opportunities, sending someone to you that will advise you or help you find an opportunity or an alternative, or give you a couple of words of advice that will be exactly what you need to know or hear. And that will get you past this moment into relief in the next moment. So it starts again. Don't bear false witness. Try to stay away from those juicy rumors. Don't spread something around that you haven't confirmed yourself. Or maybe it's just useless information. Is it helping or hurting should be what you ask yourself. If it's hurting, say nothing. You're doing yourself a service. When somebody does get in trouble and when somebody does a bad turn to you, it's okay to be angry. It's justifiable. And you can express your anger to them. Just avoid calling them a name or belittling them. That's when you fall off the path. But do express your anger. That allows you to vent and get that hostility outside of you, not swallowing the anger, which is swallowing pain, which is producing illness. Express it. It's okay. And if you can get to that point in your life where you have balance, that you can deal with people in a way that you know is just and right, and you can avoid the false claims, the conspiracies, the rumors, as best you can. If you express gratitude to the beings that live in the higher dimensions, who are watching over you, I guarantee you that. Remember, however, you have to pray first, then do everything you can to make the prayer happen yourself. And it will be done. Not necessarily in the time frame that you think or like, but it will be done. All prayers are answered. You have to seek the answers, the information, the opportunities, the alternatives. Then you have to go around banging on everybody's door to find those alternatives, opportunities. But if you're tenacious, there is a solution and an alternative to any problem you have, no matter what it is. So today's talk, sort of off the cuff, is to understand the commandments are given not to make you afraid of God. Whenever you see fear of God, take that word and turn it around and say respect of God. I think that's truly what it was meant to be, not fear God, but to respect God. Avoid casting doubt. Avoid passing around conspiracies. But one day in a week, take time out for yourself and keep that day holy. Communicate with the divine. Be at peace. Remember, we work to live. We don't live to work. You don't want to run by your whole life and say, my God, I should have, I could have. Where did my life go? What happened? Here we are, 75, 80 years old. What happened? So taking the time out, even if it's a few minutes of a day, and saying, God Almighty, I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for today. I got to deal with those so-and-sos down the street that are doing this and the noise and the dark with a barking dog next door. But I'm alive. I'm grateful. Help me find a solution to deal with those irritations in life. What are you doing? You're not getting angry. You're finding calmness. That even when there's a storm around you, you can find that moment of calmness. And then you'll know what to do. You won't be full of fear. You won't be hysterical. You won't be pushed to do something by other people. You won't have a mob mentality. You'll be able to take charge of your mind. And you'll know exactly what to do or say. There's a promise there about if you go to court, don't prepare. Don't worry. When you get there, I'll be there with you and I'll give you the words to speak. That was a promise made a few weeks ago. We were talking about that. And think about it. When you're in trouble, be calm. Listen to the voice within. No matter what your issue is, or what your circumstance is or dilemma, a solution will be given. Words will be given. But you have to act on them. Remember, you got in trouble, nobody else. It's your problem. Okay, it's my problem, my responsibility, my duty. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to run away. That is the number one thing you'll hear me say forever. Do not run away. If you run away, the problem comes back next year, next month. If you stand still, listen quietly, solutions will be given to you. And if you manage to do it correctly or not, the problem will not come back. Because you faced up to it, you stood still. And another thing about not bearing false witness is that when you meet people like that, you know, you're talking about the brother-in-law or somebody, they're going to be in front of you one day, and you're going to need their help. Yep, you are. It's sort of a rule of thumb. When you criticize somebody, you're going to end up needing their help in a specific way. Guarantee it. Now, you don't need to just accept that on my word. You can observe it yourself. And you'll see people criticizing their brother-in-law. And then their car won't start. Guess what? They have to call him up and he comes over and boosts their car. Or they can't get in their house. The key's broken. Guess who has a spare set of keys? The brother-in-law. So I believe the angels do play games with us, and we're tried all the time. And they're probably looking down and say, well, let's see what, here we go again. Let's give them a little challenge. As you begin to see the challenges as playtime in life, that there is some purpose to it, I think it was in Ecclesiastes we read a little while ago that when somebody comes up and challenges you to provoke you, and you do not become provoked, they're providing a gift to you. And that gift is your ability to demonstrate patience, your spirituality. Patience is spirituality in action. So my talk today, in light of all the challenges we've had with the internet, there are momentous things happening in our world and in our time. Be the observer. If you can observe things and not become emotionally attached or persuaded or provoked from them, you're doing well. And as you see these things that are coming through our world, you'll be saved. You'll be all right. You'll be in a safe place. Opportunities will bring things to you. Solutions will come to you. And you'll find yourself happier. You'll find yourself enjoying life, not fearing life. You'll enjoy your job, not endure your job. The point of all this today is not to bear false witness. Find the truth. And if you can't find the truth, don't be afraid to say something. When the question is, somebody ought to say something, somebody ought to do something, hey, that's you. You be that somebody. Don't get yourself in trouble. Be prudent. But do something, say something. And then one day in the week, it's your day to be with God, to let only good things happen to you that day, to surround yourself with pleasant things. In the midst of some financial storm or family storm or difficulties, go for a walk. Look at the water going by in the stream. See the clouds in the air. Let that negativity float out of your head, out of your mind. And then ask, what should I do about this? Please help me. Please protect me. Please guide me. And it will be given. But remember, you can't hear that little voice telling you what to do if you're in the middle of a crowd screaming at each other. Meditation is important, that allows you to get back to that moment when you're in your mind communicating with and looking through that doorway to the great beyond. That's why you should meditate, not vegetate, meditate. Meditation means paying attention beyond attention. And when somebody asks you a question, that answer will come to you very quickly. Practice. Use meditation to problem solve. Use meditation to quiet yourself, to get in touch with the high self, if you don't believe you have a soul, then what I'm saying doesn't matter. But if you believe you have a soul, then everything I said is important and pertinent. You can get in touch with that high self. And that high self is not really a different person, it's you. I'm going to end by saying there's a lot of research about near-death experiences. And the scientific community now, about 80% of the younger scientists have agreed or have admitted that they believe in a supernatural being, where when I was growing up, it was the other way around. There was no supernatural being. So times are changing, but we're all the same. We don't need to have information by some authority we call scientists tell us, yes, you're right. We don't need that. We already have the evidence. And that out-of-body experiences now are giving the note takers proof or evidence that there is a soul, that it is aware of itself after death, physical death, and that it is aware of the physical body and the separation between the two. We know that. How many of you had mom and dad come back, or grandma and grandpa come back, or auntie come for a visit? Sometimes they come and say goodbye. We know this because it happens all the time. The only difference now is that it's more in vogue. It's acceptable. That's the only difference. But you know, the truth was always there anyway. You can never convince somebody against their mind. They always have mental reservations. They might agree with you outwardly, but they won't internally. And so this is what out-of-body experiences are now providing, that there is a soul for those people who are just starting out, for just becoming aware. You are more aware, and you want to be even more and greater aware. That's why you're here today. And you will be. The virtue energy that goes through all of us is that substance that makes up your soul. It's part of the DNA of your soul. Everything that you've said or done in this life has been recorded. Not out there somewhere, but inside on your spiritual self, the DNA of your soul. And we're going to talk more about that in the years to come. But the idea is you already know this. What you're looking for is to have a communication with a divine being who is going to protect you and take care of you. In order to have that covenant, the only thing you need to do back is to be loving, to be grateful, and to be grateful for the guidance and assistance you're given from above. That's just called being thankful for your life. All the different steps we take and all the things that you see me do, you can do. All the words I'm talking to you are attempt to basically reaffirm what you already know, or perhaps fill in the blanks to what you know, or perhaps to give you a new perspective on something that you already know. The ability inside you, that power within, that's your soul. The rules to get in touch with it are, one day a week, make it possible. Calm in your life. Pleasant smells, pleasant things to look at, pleasant feelings, pleasant conversations. Now, if you feel like you need to meditate for 4 hours in that day, God bless you. I don't think I could do that. I use a recliner chair. I don't get down in my hands and knees like the yogis do. That's my way. The recliner chair is better. So whatever's comfortable for you, look out to that great beyond and say, what would you have me do with my life? What can I do now? If you have a need, pray earnestly. It's okay to pray for money, for health, for a relationship, for something tangible. It's okay. You need those things in the world. But to develop that relationship with a divine being, that's important. Because you're asking that divine being for help. And that divine being doesn't require anything of you, but it wants you to become more evolved, more spiritual. And the way you get to that level is through service, helping other people. People ask me, is it possible that bad people can be intuitive or spiritual? Of course. They have this intuition inside them as well. The attitude, the emotions, the purpose, that dictates what's going to happen to them when they use these abilities. So when somebody does something that you think is really bad, don't worry about that or them. As it says in Proverbs, don't get angry. I'm going to take care of it, meaning God. It just says it might take a little while, but I'm going to get to it. And as you become a more aware person, you will see these laws in action. You will see that nobody gets away with anything. But you can repent and you can pay a penance of something, doing a good work to pay for your mistake if you wish to do that. And now what are you doing? You're starting a relationship with the divine. You're learning to cooperate. You're learning how to make yourself a better person. And in that process, you're forgiving yourself. Most important. So for this next week, see if you can avoid propagating a juicy rumor about somebody or a conspiracy online. It's okay to have opinions, mind you. It's okay to speak the truth. But then one day or half a day, or even for an hour, take time out for yourself. Meditation is an active state of mind. You want to ascend to a greater consciousness. You just don't want to go into a blank space and make your body feel comfortable and relaxed. You want to go beyond that. So if you have a question in mind, hold it in mind. And when you get to see the images coming to your mind, and you ought to see images coming to your mind, one of them will give you the answer or solution. You might not like it. What am I going to do about that barking dog next door? And in your mind, you see yourself going over with treats and throwing them over the fence. And your first thought is, that's expensive. Why should I pay for that dog? Well, a long time ago, I gave that advice to somebody who couldn't sleep at night because the dog was barking. I said, well, why don't you become friends with the dog? Give the dog a can of dog food. That'll shut him up. And that person says, that's a really good idea. And then, of course, yeah, but that's going to be expensive. And I said, well, if a can of dog food costs 50 cents or a dollar, how much is it worth to get a good night's sleep? And he said, I see your point. Now, of course, if you become friends with the dog isn't telepathically picking up on your anger and frustration, and the dog will settle down. And the mechanics of that is you're giving the dog a treat so the dog will appreciate and love you. You see the belief factor. You can see the logic. You can see the telepathic link between the person and the dog was being severed. And then you have to wonder, why did that happen in the first place? Well, we won't go into that. But see, there was something that could be done. Working with your high self, it's exciting, It's frustrating. It's relief. But the most important thing you can count on is that when you get in trouble, you're going to get help. No matter what it is, you will get help. One of you had a dream a little while ago about great storms coming across the country. Half the people who were unbelievers were going to suffer. But the other half who believed were going to be saved. Another person had a dream of Jesus standing there with a sword up against the Shroud of Turin, saying basically the same thing. Those that believe will be saved. Now, what does that mean? It means what I'm talking about today. Be grateful. Believe in God. Ask for God's help. And listen. Don't dismiss it. Because the information comes teeny tiny quiet voice. Whatever it is. And if you can do that, if you can follow what you're getting prudently with faith, I guarantee you more information will be given to you. Greater information will be given to you. You'll be able to see further down the line, and you'll know what you're doing today is going to work out. Because we all know we've had those situations in life where we started out and then something happened and all that effort and time and money was lost. If you had that information or you had assurance of some future event working out successfully, then you would know how to choose more correctly. God's a practical resource, if you will. God Almighty wants you to be happy. God Almighty provided everything. Have a relationship with God. Pray every day. Keep part of the week a holy day, a nice day, a pleasant day. Do everything you can to be grateful. Don't listen to rumors. Don't listen to gossip. Don't listen to conspiracy theories. Be mindful and astute and aware so that you don't get in trouble. And when you do, you come back here and we'll help you. But before you do that, you pray. God Almighty, please protect me from the tax man. Now, if you have to pay taxes, that's okay, but the tax man isn't going to come and beat you up. So you get protection and you follow through what you have to do. If you're sick, you say, please help me. Let me find that thing I need to take. What do I need to do for my body? And then be brave enough to follow what you get. Yes, Douglas, you should be doing exercise, yoga. Yes, Douglas, you should be doing stretches. Yes, but that hurts. I endeavor. But anyway. That's my talk for today. I went a little bit off on the end about I want you to be closer to God. Because God's there every moment. Your high self knows exactly what you need any moment. And what you want in your life is to be at peace. Make sense? Okay, we're 37 souls on board. I would normally try to put a human here, but the way things are going today, I don't know whether to give that a break. Well, we could try. I'll try some infinite relaxation. I don't know if you can hear that. As we go to the next step of spiritual healing. We have some rules coming up that they're not quite available for the chat. We're going to ask you to make an application for people for next week. We're going to ask you to put one name in only, but you should also tell the person that we're sending this healing energy directly to that things are going to happen to them. They might feel warm. It's our service to help people do this. It's a privilege for us to do this. But we also have time limits as well. Just a second. We have Beverly, Jean, PJ, Jay, Tavita, Mark, Tim, Regine, Brandon, Santiago, Maria, Gaitan, GLS, Jim and Sherry, Paul, John, Vivian, Carol, Tom, Jesus, Brian, Joanne, Weech, is that Will? Carrie. There we go. Reverend Rebecca, Pat, Sue, Joe, Celeste, Bernie, Ann, John, Michael, Patty, myself, Ed Duck. As I send the energy through the computer to you, remember it's coming from above and it's going through us to us. We're all one. And we start off always by asking, God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, in the name of the Most High, in the name of the Holy Family, Jesus the Christ, Mother Mary, and Father Joseph, to those angels and avatars that watch over us, to the angels in particular of Michael, Raphael, Ariel, and the others, to those saints and avatars who have come into our lives, including Hanuman, we are grateful for your interaction with us. We are grateful for your intervention in our lives. We beseech you earnestly, honestly. We hope for that divine influence, that knowledge, that supernatural force that we call virtue, that will come upon us and go through our bodies physically, removing any disease or discomfort, allowing the healing forces to manifest and all the healing abilities to increase in their function. We ask for the blessings of the angels to intercede in our lives to protect us, to remove from us any darkness or negativity, to open the doors of opportunity, to show us our inner way, to allow us to come closer and closer to that greater understanding that we call unconditional love. Let us be in the arms of God Almighty each and every day. We are grateful for our lives, and we are grateful for that we will continue to do in service to increase our spiritual understanding, our knowledge, our awareness, that we will indeed become that we hope to be. In the name of all that is holy, we ask for a blessing. want you to now think of wherever you need help, physically, financially, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. To the physical, we wish for a blessing to remove disease and despair or difficulty in our body, to amplify all the regeneration, all the healing, and all the growth in our body that is there. We ask for the virtue to go into our heart, to remove us of any heartache, any despondency or difficulty, any pain that we might be experiencing, and to fill our heart up with love and happiness and joy. We ask for relief in our mind, to chase away the cobwebs, to allow our mind to be refreshed, to allow our mind to have peace. We ask for our spiritual well-being, that our soul is aware of the greater things in the world and of our situation, and it will communicate with us, the high self talking to the low self, like father to son, like mother to daughter. That our spiritual understanding and wisdom will increase, that we are benefiting and improving in this life, that our soul will be improved, that our soul will be aware, that our soul will be enlightened, that our soul will advance, that we will be raised up to the higher levels of consciousness while we are here in the world. We ask for this blessing on all levels of ourself, and for those that are meaningful to us, our friends and our family, our associates. Let us be a beacon of light. Let us bring joy and happiness into their lives by simply knowing them and they us. Use us in service. Allow us to come to the greater understanding and truth. Let us use our spiritual abilities to know the future, to know what is truthful, to know what is correct for us to do at any time in our lives. We pray for opportunities, we pray for abundance, we pray for people to bring us opportunities, we pray for the energy to work through and complete these energies, these opportunities rather, to the fullest extent that we may take advantage. We deserve more in our lives. We deserve peace. We seek peace. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we ask for virtue to go through all those who are here in the community today, whose names I have read, and to those who are meaningful to them. Feel the energy coming through to you. Feel the peace of God's hand on your head, warming your heart, blessing your body. This is a time to be with God, to know that God is loving you, to know that God concerns what is going on in your life, that you would be happy and content. Be not afraid. Move forward, do new things. You are not alone. The world is full of abundance. As it goes through this time of uncertainty and renovation, we as a community ask for peace to come into the hearts and minds of those who are in authority over us, those political, financial leaders, those politicians, and those who have ability to bring peace into the world. We ask that their hearts be softened, that their minds be wise, and that they seek to be of service to the greater good rather than to themselves. We ask, knowing that our prayers are being heard. We are grateful for the angels who are watching over us, who cooperate and work with and through us as we dedicate our lives in service. May we be filled with virtue. May we be filled with a closeness, knowing God is with us every step of the way. May we be wise to know what to choose the right way, to choose to live in harmony, to accept the virtue that is being offered. In this we pray, in the name of our elder brother, Jesus the Christ, in the name of all the other saints who watch over us, and all the other divine beings, and all the other faiths who are associated with us. We believe in God Almighty. We are grateful to Mother Mary and Father Joseph and Jesus the Christ each and every day. God loves you, each and every one of you. You are important. You are a brick in the foundation of God's holy church. The heavens above are opening up to you. You can access the greater knowledge and wisdom. Let your prayers be heard and answered quickly. Let your life be filled with purpose. Feel the joy each and every day. May your dreams become clear. May your meditations guide you each and every day. May the healing forces grow within your body, that you will be someone to bring blessings, that you will be aware of the virtue that goes through you, and to all that you hold meaningful. This is the great promise. Ask and ye shall receive. Remember to ask in the name of all that is holy. In the name of Jesus the Christ, in the name of all the saints and avatars, in the name of God Almighty, God Almighty, we are grateful. Amen, amen, and amen. Some of you may feel a little warm, some of you may feel a little tingly, some may feel peace. Some may feel other feelings or sensations. Why you do that, I can only say it's the virtue going through you. Your hands might get tingly. Your dreams should come along. They should be more profound, by the way. So Patty will now switch to the chat. And we'll try to go as quickly as we can. We're going to have a more formal way to apply for spiritual healing. I sent an email out this morning. I don't think we put it in the chat, but we're going to ask you to, if you want somebody to receive a benefit from us, then we're going to ask you to fill out an application, so to speak, a request more assuredly. Sydney, okay, just looking through here. Okay, I'm standing up, by the way, so I can't see the top of my head. There we go. Okay, Patty, so we'll all cooperate as a community, and we'll send the energy out to the people you're about to name. Again, we're trying to make it so that people in the chat know that we're doing this for them. You should communicate with your friends prior to service that you're going to ask on their behalf. Get their permission, if you will. They don't really need permission, but acknowledgement might be a better word. Otherwise, sometimes they feel the energy and they don't know what it is, and they become worried, especially the heart starts to heat up, they might think they're having some negative effect from the energy going through their chest. And anyway, there'll be more. I think if I can find it before I end the service, I'll put the application in the chat. Otherwise, manymansions, 144@gmail.com. You can put an application in there. And we have also a U.S. address, which is mmsc.usa@gmail.com. You can make donations to those too. And Joe, do you want to wave your hand, Joe, so people could see you? Joe is willing to be a counselor. So if you'd like to get in touch with him, you can make arrangements with him by emailing manymansions144@gmail.com or any other way that Joe will let you know how to do that. With that, let us begin. When we do this, it helps if we have an image in our mind of sending light to that person at a distance or some other thing that occurs to you. Vision, some visual imagination, so to speak, to use an image, a symbol, if you will. Otherwise, if you want to know, for instance, you can see light coming out of your palms of your hands going to the person. This is the way we send it. This is the way we receive it. Okay. So, Patty, if you'll be so kind, I'll start the prayer, and then you could say the names. In the name of God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty, we ask a blessing of virtue to be sent to the following people. On behalf of themselves, someone has made a request, or someone has made a request, to them, or they have themselves made a request. And we are sending this energy to them through the internet, through the ethers, to these people who are going to say their first name and what they're looking for as far as a blessing. Just for the people who may not be familiar. With that, again, in the name of Jesus the Christ, in the name of God Almighty, in the name of all that is holy, we ask a blessing for the following people, for health, wealth, peace of mind. May their bodies be healed quickly. May their financial opportunities arrive quickly. May they find peace and comfort and relief and peace in their life quickly, easily and comfortably. Go ahead, Patty.
For Kristen, relief from PTSD.
Continue.
For Anthony, relief from back difficulties.
Continue.
For Terry, relief from problems.
See a lot of shimmering gold light over Terry. Go ahead.
For Tammy, recovery from brain surgery.
Okay.
For Sue, relief from sciatica pain, hearing loss, worries, and thinning hair.
Okay.
For Raj, relief from scoliosis and severe allergies.
Okay.
For Manny, relief from diabetes and high blood pressure.
Okay.
For Zachary, relief from frustration.
Okay.
For Carol, relief from heart problems.
Okay.
Or Bentley, healing and guidance.
Okay.
Or Keely, relief from physical difficulties.
Okay.
For Ken, prosperity.
Okay.
For Ruby, general healing.
Okay.
For Lavinia, relief from dementia and eyesight loss.
Okay.
For Sal, relief from depression and gout.
Okay.
For Lamia, relief from multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
For Jenny, recovery from surgery.
Okay.
For Mary, help with walking.
Okay.
For John, relief from bladder and prostate issues.
Okay.
For Stella, relief from bullying at school.
Okay.
For Frida, relief from Lyme's disease.
Okay.
For Mike, relief from foot problems.
Okay.
Zoe, relief from gallbladder problems.
Okay.
The last one for Kristen, who was run over by a car.
We're going to ask for a lady in Peru, Alida. For her abdominal area, she has a receding cancer. We're going to continue to speed that up by sending the energy to her. And it's going to be a golden color energy that's just disintegrating the cancer in the cervix area. We're going to send energy to Manuel in Spain, Barcelona, for his lung cancer. He's been on the service before. will send additional energy to Ellen. Who has been here before, Ellen Hassan, for her liver cancer. She's done well getting through the lung cancer. Now we will continue to amend the liver cancer. We'll send also the energy to the Virtue, to Elaine Seymour. Aaron, I mean, and her husband, Seymour, to remove the swelling and edema. And finally, to my granddaughter and my son, Doug, we'll send the healing forces into their shoulders and back to relieve any conditions of impairment caused by injury, to remove any inflammation, strengthen the muscles easily and comfortably. In the name of all that is holy, we are grateful to be able to be of service and to offer prayers on behalf of those to whom we have named. For all those that are here in the community, may they receive a blessing of being of service. May they have prosperity and plenty and peace. We are grateful for the community, and as the community continues to expand and we attract those people of like-mindedness, may we continue to be a brighter light in the world. May we continue to be the arm of peace. We are grateful for that we have been given and for the opportunity to be here today. We take into our hearts the knowledge, the communion, the love and the blessings that we have received today as part of this Many Mansions community. May each and every one be blessed with prosperity. May they receive all that they need or want. May they be relieved of any pain, any difficulty, any shortcoming, any concern whatsoever. We ask for the intervention of the mighty angels, divine beings, and those that watch over us from the Most High. We are grateful for our lives. We are grateful for the protection that we are receiving. May our enemies be put asunder. May the angels light our way. May we come closer and closer to that greater understanding. May virtue be with us each and every day to bless us each and every way. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I trust everyone is feeling a little warmer, a little more peaceful, a little more encouraged. I don't know if you saw it, but I had to straighten my back out. Somebody just, my back. All the bones of my back were cracking. I have to cancel that chiropractor appointment for tomorrow. It's amazing. Well, I'm tuning the, making Reverend Doug the co-host now. Does anyone have anything to say before I leave? Appreciate the kind comments that we're here to start with. All right.
Comments, Doug.
Say that again.
Thank you for your comments, Doug.
You're very welcome. I could see you were paying close attention this morning. Well, or you seem to be. Thank you very much. It's very kind of you. I was going to sit back down in my chair here.
I haven't received notification that I'm the host yet, so.
Well, who else got it? I'll try to get you make the co-host, right?
Well, the host, if you're going to leave.
Okay, change host.
There we are. Thank you.
Is that Will? Is that I see W-I-L-L-G. Is that how you say your name? Will?
Brad Williamson.
I just in the little window I see. Is that your name? Am I calling you the right name, though? Will? Or is it William? W-I-I-G, I think it says.
Yeah, it's Grant Williamson.
Okay. I'll try to remember Grant for next time.
I'll try to change it.
Okay. It shortens all the little things, everybody, so it's hard for me to read. So if I mispronounce your name, I apologize. But, okay, I'm just looking at everybody. Okay, I'll say good evening, and I'll see you next time. Happy March break, wherever you might be. Enjoy the grandkids. Take care, my friends. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you.